This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
In the first of what we hope will become a regular segment on People First Radio, we welcome one of the hosts of The Native Perspective, broadcast Saturdays at 9 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and at chly.ca. Chadis Leo and Ryan Ross feature First Nations music, comedy, events, and poetry, along with special interviews from influential First Nations artists. The Native Perspective brings out the truly diverse culture of First Nations people in Canada and around the world.
And Chadis Leo joins us in the studio today. Welcome to People First Radio, Chadis.
Thank you so much, and that sounds a lot better when somebody else says it.
Yes. Well, as I said to you, you know, when I first contacted you, I listened to your program, believe it or not, for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and was very struck by how I was drawn in first by the music, the top nine songs that you had identified you wanted to play in the program. That drew me in, and simply the enjoyment of listening to the program and the things that were presented, it was really worth the time.
Why, thank you very much. Say.
So welcome to People First Radio, and as we mentioned, we're hoping to talk with you on a periodic basis about Aboriginal issues in the news. Now, that may seem a broad topic, but we'd like to explore a few of the stories that have appeared in the media over the past few weeks. So today, youth education and the Canadian future seems to be the phrase or the catchphrase for our discussion.
Definitely.
Does that narrow things down a bit
yeah,
for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We'll have to work with that.
Yes. Post-Media News reported on September the 30th, 2010. Aboriginal teens troubled, conflicted about Canada. That was the headline. And this is according to a survey study called Canada's Emerging Aboriginal Millennials by University of Lethbridge Professor Reginald Bibby. Laura Stone writes in her article about this study, "The researchers say overall that they found that Aboriginal teens coming of age in this decade are a resilient and positive bunch who are nevertheless bogged down by economic and social concerns." Chadis, your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. Well, when I read this article, I definitely was surprised in some ways and not surprised in other ways. First thing I'd like to mention, too, once you get to the bottom of the article, mentions that they looked at about 5,500 high school students from across the country with a subsample category of 500 Aboriginal teens attending. So right away, you know, there's really good research, really good article, but then your question is like, there's probably more to know, right? Mm-hmm. So keeping that in mind. Definitely, you know, there's a lot of differences in Aboriginal teens and non-Aboriginal teens. And growing up on a reserve ever since I was two up until I just moved here recently, I've definitely seen a difference, right? I never went to the schools that all the Aboriginal people went to closest to the reserve. I went to the farthest one away. And so I definitely see those results in personal experience, and I find it's troublesome in some ways and optimistic in others.
Now, the Bibby research, as reported once again in Post Media News, included the following stats, so even more stats here. Mm-hmm. Despite social challenges, 70% of Aboriginal teens on reserve say Canada is very important to them, as do 55% of off-reserve Aboriginal teens. Only 43% of other Canadian teens agreed that Canada was very important. So that in itself is interesting. But the study went on to find that only 45% of on-reserve teens said they would live in Canada if given the choice, compared with 55% of Aboriginals off-reserve and 54% of other Canadians. Does that surprise you?
It surprises me in some ways. There's a lot of Aboriginal teens that have a lot of opportunities in front of them, and especially, you know, being an Aboriginal teenager in BC is so much more advantages than if you're non-Aboriginal. I mean, personally, myself, I'm able to access a scholarship fairly easy to help me pay for my education personally. And so there's a lot of opportunity in Canada. And in regards to, you know, if they had a choice of going off somewhere else, I personally think they lose that opportunity once they leave outside of their where they've grew up from, whether it be on a reserve or off reserve. So you definitely got to put that into perspective. If you have all these people that want to move away, are they missing out on opportunities, or are they actually gaining more opportunities. So definitely, depending on where you're from, it's quite shocking.
And if another country, what country would it be?
Exactly, right? So then you start to figure, well, for example, the Coast Salish Nation ranges from BC all the way down to Washington, which is partially where I'm from as well. So, you know, you can still experience your culture and have some close ties to your Aboriginal culture, obviously. But, you know, otherwise you're moving into other provinces, other countries, and there's a lot of opportunities outside of Canada. But growing up in Canada, being a citizen, there's so many opportunities, and like myself, I've taken great advantage of it.
You're listening to People First Radio, and this is some of the Native Perspective with special guest Chadis Leo of the weekly CHLY program, The Native Perspective. We're taking a look at articles and commentaries from recent events that speak directly to the Native experience. Today, youth, education, and the Canadian future.
Wednesday, October the 6th, the Victoria Times columnist carried an opinion piece by Paul Davidson and Roberta Jameson called Canada's Future Depends on Aboriginal Youth. Now, they wrote, amongst other things, and Chadis, of course, I'm just quoting a couple of the paragraphs, improving Aboriginal education is not an issue we can ignore. It affects every Canadian. Aboriginal youth are the least likely to graduate from high school and are far behind Canadian students generally in completing post-secondary education. At the same time, our country is aging and record numbers of workers are set for retirement. Young workers are needed to fill these jobs and sustain the Canadian economy. Unless we do something about education of Aboriginal youth, hundreds of thousands of youth will not be available to help Canada deal with this demographic crunch.
Yeah, that's something to take into account, definitely. Now, going from being to a couple of high schools and traveling around different cities and such, I've noticed that no matter what school I go to, I find some source, some type of educational tool that Natives and Aboriginal teenagers have at their disposal. And I know personally, like me, again, going to a different school where I was probably the only Aboriginal kid there, I didn't have those tools, and I find them very helpful, right? So as time progresses, I've definitely seen, you know, I'm only 19, but since I was 6, I can remember not having anything to having all those support tools once time comes by. So it's definitely, you know, smaller regions, not as available, but in general terms, I think improving Aboriginal culture has already taken effect, and it's just a personal choice now and a family choice and a community choice for an individual youth to take charge and actually take advantage of those. So it really boils down again to personal decision if you're going to take those opportunities, if you're going to use them to its full potential. And I'm not trying to be a devil's advocate or anything, but yeah, again, there's a lot of factors into why certain Aboriginal youth don't have as much opportunity or have to a fair amount over everybody else. So again, personal choice, and there's quite a bit out there as it stands.
Do you think that Aboriginal youth are aware of their collective size, for one thing, in terms of numbers of individuals and the potential impact they will have one way or another or anything in between over time as they grow, as people your age mm-hmm. become 25, 30, 35, and 40, and the country turns, as the study has identified, to hundreds of thousands of Aboriginal youth, asking them, will you be able to help out in this way or that way?
I strongly believe that everybody is able to help out no matter what they do, whether they get an education or not. I'm a strong believer in education. I think it's the right way to go for a lot of Aboriginal people, but I don't think it's the only way to successfully have a career. I personally like taking my educational goals, but I have other goals that don't involve it, right? So I think a lot of Aboriginal youth know that they can have a successful career, have a successful contribution to the community through education, and those tools are there at their disposal. And again, they also know, I believe personally, that a lot of them also know they can contribute to community without going through educational standards. So I think in general terms, there is that knowledge.
And on another education-focused item from the CBC this time on October the 8th, 2010, Senate Committee Visits First Nations School. That's the headline. And here's a portion of that report. Members of a standing Senate committee examining Aboriginal education in Canada were in Alberta and Saskatchewan to gather information for a study on primary and secondary education for First Nations students. And leaders from Alberta's three First Nations treaty groups made presentations to the senators at a hearing in Edmonton on Thursday, but no one from Alberta Education, including Minister Dave Hancock, was there. Now, the Education Minister for Alberta, Dave Hancock, was in the very next room in the same downtown Edmonton hotel to attend a separate education meeting. He later told reporters that he preferred to deal directly with the Department of Indian and Northern Affairs on Aboriginal education issues. Chattis.
Well, obviously, there's two valid sides of that argument. One, you know, it would have been great to have that minister there present so he can talk to the people who want all the information so they can make a difference. And in turn, he can take that knowledge and make a difference himself, right? So him discussing, you know, if he wants to talk to about the federal government, you know, a lot of people are going to view that as a negative thing. Nonetheless, he probably has some valid points. It might make more logical sense. It might have more an effect if he talks to the federal government. Again, you know, everybody knows what the problems are. Everybody knows the steps that have already been taken to fix those. It's just a matter of time, and there's been a lot of time and discussion into these issues, especially with the improvement of the Aboriginal education and so on and so forth. So, you know, again, that's a good note to take that, you know, he wasn't present, but you know, again, we don't know exactly what he was thinking about or what the logic was behind talking to the federal government. There's the possibility that I could have talked to them and then the federal government, have a nice equilibrium between the two. So that's definitely a nice note to take.
We have to close up our discussion for today and in a couple of moments. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with today, Chattis?
Well, just in summary, I guess, you know, a lot of these stories have a nice close relation. We're talking about Aboriginal education. We're also comparing it to non-Aboriginal teenagers, right? So we have to think now there's a lot of factors to take. There's not enough educational tools, or is there? Communities that are far away from a city, they don't have as much access as we do, say in Nanaimo, Campbell River, Courtney, all these areas. And then there's people with non-Aboriginal education that have all these tools at their disposal, and we start to wonder, do they have the same amount of tools as Aboriginal students have, and where does the line start and where does it end?
Thanks very much for joining us today. We really appreciated it, and I hope we can do this again in about 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks, Chattis.
Chattis Leo is one of the hosts of The Native Perspective, broadcast Saturdays at 9 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and at chly.ca. The weekly program includes First Nations music, comedy, events, and poetry, along with special interviews from influential First Nations artists. Both Chattis and Ryan bring out the truly diverse culture of First Nations people in Canada and around the world. You can find The Native Perspective online at thenativeperspective.com. Listen for more from The Native Perspective and future broadcasts of People First Radio.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.